Hi there, welcome along to this racing postcast. It's Monday the 17th of May. I'm Maddie Playle and this week I've got three excellent guests. I'm very chuffed to say that Lee Mottershead's joining us, so too is James Stevens and Tom Collins, who I'm sure is going to have plenty to say about the Preakness a little bit later on. But we'll keep closer to home for the time being. We're going to have a look back on an excellent weekend of racing. Palace Pier was the star name. In the Lock-In Stakes, he produced an excellent performance, and Al Arzi was also impressive in the Al Ryan Stakes. And then yesterday on Sunday, we had the French Classics. We had the French 1,000 guineas and 2,000 guineas. St. Mark's Basilica, a dominant winner of the Colts version. So we'll talk about him, as well as a shock in the Phillies equivalent from Kerr Samba. We're also going to touch on York, of course. The Dante meeting was last week. We're going to get the guys' main fancies going forward from that before we look at the features this weekend, which include the Irish 2000 and 1000 guineas and also the Temple Stakes at Haydock, which could feature Glass Slippers, really popular filly. But let's start off with the best stuff, guys, because Palace Pier was really explosive in the Lock-Inch under Frankie Dettori, who was looking round in the closing stages, all made it quite theatrical. I enjoyed it. I'm sure you guys did too. What's he got to achieve now to really be considered among some of the greatest milers we've seen in recent years, Lee? I mean, this was another excellent win.
It was an excellent win. I think he still does have plenty to achieve before we can consider him, you know, up there with the Kingmans, the Frankels, the Zilzals of the great milers that we talk about. But he's doing everything right so far. The Lock-Inch is never one of the year's truly great Group 1 mile races. For a start, it's limited to 4 year-olds and upwards, so you don't have a generational clash. And although there were many runners in the race this year, they didn't bring with them lots of solid Group 1 form. But, and it's a big but, you can only do what you're able to do in a race. And I thought he was visually really impressive. I thought what we've not had too much of so far in this flatter season are real moments and performances of brilliance. And I thought between the two and the one, he really did show brilliance. I was there on Saturday and I spoke to Frank Dettori after the race. And he was so enthused. He used the wow word. It was a wow moment between two and one when he accelerated. And he did put the race to bed very quickly. Frankie thought he idled thereafter, which is worth bearing in mind when you think he's only beaten a 108 rated horse by a length and a half. But again, but there's 5.5 lengths back to a progressive horse in third in top rank. And I say the manner of the victory, I thought, was really taking. You'd imagine they'd gone to Queen Anne next, and then they face a decision of whether to stick to Amar for the Jacques Le Marois or go up to Amar and a quarter for the Judmont International. And I sense they're leaning towards the latter, because I think they will be thinking towards midsummer and not necessarily that much towards the autumn, given he floundered on deep ground on Champions Day last season. And Tom would be much more of an expert of American racing than I would be, but I don't necessarily see him as a sort of horse to wing around the bends at Del Mar. But so far, so very good with Palace Pier.
Yeah, some interesting points you raised there, chiefly about the form, TC, because I think a lot of people will be concerned, oh, well, he's only beaten Lady Beaufort, who, by the way, what a fantastic story in its own right for Emma Banks and William Jarvis and all connected with that horse. But was she the horse that you really wanted to finish second to hold up this form? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, Palace Pier was rated £8 superior to his rivals before the race. Obviously, he was 6-7 and had only lost the Champions Day, as Lee said, when he lost a shoe and the ground clearly hindered him. He was supposed to win like he did. I don't think the form was bad. I know Lady Beaufort's only rated 108, but she clearly ran a lot better than her rating suggests. I think she ran to about 118. I know Racing Post ratings had her down as 119. Because I think Top Rank ran his race in third, and he's the form setter in the race, as well as Palace Pier, obviously, who won. I think Palace Pier is the best miler in the world. I think he did what he was supposed to do. I'd love to see him go against Golden 60, but I don't think it will ever happen. I reckon he can now become a great, you know. All he has to do is just run to a consistent level over the course of a couple of seasons. You need, for these horses to have a big legacy, you need to see them time and time again run their best race over and over again. And I think he has the potential to do that. John and Thady Gosden like running their horses. He won't exactly be a, you know, have two starts in the season, then we don't see him again. So I just hope that Palace Pier can keep this form up for the rest of the year and next season potentially. I also wouldn't go to Delmar with him, although I do think he would still win the race despite not handling the track. But yeah, he can easily become a great for me.
The interesting thing going forward is whether they try the 10 furlongs, as Lee said. And judging by John Gosden, I just get the feeling that he wants to give it a go. James, I mean, would you see that as a potential weakness for Palace Pier going forward? What are his weaknesses, if any? Because if TC said he had a legitimate excuse in the QE2 last year.
Yeah, it's hard to find a weakness in him. What I thought watching it back was, you know, I was born and raised in Newbury. I've seen many Lockinges in my day. That was a moment where you just sort of went, you know, it was a wow moment. It was not just this season, but, you know, from looking at Lockinges in the past, and he's the second best winner of a race in the decade since Frankel, which sort of says it all, really. I watched it thinking maybe there's more to come, in the sense of when Frankie sort of did that look over his shoulder, I thought maybe then he just thought, the race is mine, let's go and do it. He probably could have hung on to Palace Pier for a couple more strides, and that distance over Lady Beaufort could have been even bigger. So I think that's something to bear in mind, that it could have perhaps been even more staggering if things played out differently. And it will be a tougher test in the Queen Anne, because you'll have the top French and Irish horses coming. And I don't think, with all due respect, Luke de Vega is the best sort of Milo Aidan O'Brien's got. In terms of trip, I mean, listen, he finished his race off well. As I said, they could have possibly held on to him a little bit more, which makes you open the boxes for those sort of mile two races. But the big question is going to be about them, is that generation gap. And if there is a real top miler emerging on the scene, perhaps we're going to have a big clash with him. But look, he's the star of the show at the minute. He's probably the most sort of interesting horse in Britain at the moment, and wherever he goes, he's gonna be a one to beat. But very impressed by him, and I have to say, he might not be a great yet, he might not be a great in the future, but he is a very, very good horse, and it's going to take a good one to stop him.
It is, and perhaps that one could be St Mark's Basilica, who we'll get to a little bit later on in the show. Now, the Al Rayan Stakes was won by Al Arzi, and this is just a really fascinating horse. William Haggis keeps saying how he looks like Nijinsky at home, and he's just in another league in his work. And again, I mean, this looked like a piece of work. Logician arguably isn't the horse he was. Maybe we'll see better from him next time. But the Coronation Cup's going to be next for Al Arzi. Lee, how high do you think this horse can go? Because there are a lot better horses out there, the likes of Aidan O'Brien's middle distance horses, who will come up against next.
There are, but at the same time, I'm not sure that it's the strongest bunch at the moment. A lot of the horses, you know, Love stayed in training from last season. But if you look at the Coronation Cup betting, for example, he's 6-5 at the moment. And I think that is as much down to who we expect to be taking him on. You know, Japan and Broom are second and third favourites. Well, they're good horses, but they're not outstanding horses. Al Arzi potentially could be outstanding. Very, very rare you see a group race, one with the rider motionist and the official form book comment ending with the word canter. And, you know, for the old fogies like myself, I think a few of us will have gone back to YouTube and looked at the 1985 Coronation Cup, which what I would encourage our millions of listeners to do. Look at the 1985 Coronation Cup, the way Pat Edry wins on a horse called Rainbow Quest. It was very similar, didn't move a muscle. Jim Crowley must have had a hell of a feeling off him that day. It's interesting. William Haggis was saying that he'd wanted Jim to be enthused about the horse again. He felt he'd lost a little bit of belief in him after the Gordon Stakes last year, when he didn't perform. But my word, that belief must be back now. And William Haggis, he's a proper Yorkshireman. You know, he calls a spade a spade. He's not one for hyperbole and puffing up a horse where the horse doesn't merit it. But you just sense, listening to him at Newbury on Saturday, both in relation to this horse and Mahafeth, his Derby horse, that he really does like them. He's put this one in the arc. He said, listen, he's in the arc, but he's not an arc horse. Yeah, he's got way more to do. But I'll be fascinated to see how he fares in the Coronation Cup, because if he's as good as William Haggis, I think William Haggis thinks he is, then he'll win the Coronation Cup readily.
And as you say, we need a horse in Britain, a real top-notch middle distance horse to take us through the season. So last races like the King George, you know, even judging by how he won, perhaps he could drop back in trip, who knows. So the sky seems the limit for Al Arzi. Now I want to go to you next, TC, to talk about Baybridge, because the London Gold Cup is a race that has produced some really, really talented horses down the years, the likes of Al-Kazim and more recently Defoe, and you were a big fan of this horse. He justified it here.
Yeah, the London Gold Cup's always a race that produces a load of subsequent winners, and although many may say this year's edition might have lacked the strength and depth that we've seen in previous years, it wasn't the same, you know, 15, 16 runner field, for example. There were definitely still some well-handicapped horses in the field, the likes of River Allwyn and Ox Legend, who finished third and fourth, King Frankel as well in second. I just love Baybridge. I tipped him up everywhere last week in my column, you know, in the Punt Friday podcast, etc. I think he's got the potential to become an exceptional horse over a mile two, a mile four next year, even this year, you know. We've seen Sir Michael Stout do this so many times before. Brings his 3-year-olds on for each run. And you have to bear in mind, this was Baybridge's just fourth start. He only won his novice last time out. And he's absolutely obliterated a good field in the London Gold Cup on just his fourth run. 10 subsequent winners came from his two novice races. He finished fourth in the second start at Kempton behind subsequent UAE Derby winner, Rebel's Romance. So he's got good form at two. He's improving at three. I love the way he didn't lose any momentum when Ryan urged him to go for a gap in between the leaders, two furlongs out. He quickly came back on the bridle and was just nudged out for an easy success. I personally think he's one of the most exciting young horses in training, and his victory on Saturday was the most impressive of any for me.
And where would you like to see him go next? He's got that King Edward the VII entry, but Ryan Moore seems to think 10 furlongs easy ground will be his optimum.
I think he's a versatile horse. He's already proven on the all-weather, and he's proven now on turf, easy ground. I think quick ground would be fine for him as well. King Edward the VII, he'll win that if he goes there. I just think he's a cut above. Sir Michael is hard to second guess, because you don't know where he's going to send his horses. He likes taking little steps with these three-year-olds, build them up, mature them physically and mentally, and then next year is where we're going to see him, like we've seen with Crystal Ocean in the past. He became a brilliant four-year-old. I'm just really excited. I'm going to follow him off a cliff, I think. I love Baybridge.
Okay, I'm sure plenty of our listeners will also be a big fan of John Leeper. And he sort of put his Derby credentials on the line in the listed fairway stakes at Newmarket. This is a horse, obviously, out of Snow Fairy, who won the Oaks herself, magnificent Globetrotter for Ed Dunlop, and named after the trainer's father. So there's a big story behind this horse, and probably not the most straightforward race he ran in at Newmarket, James, but this was another encouraging performance.
Yeah, it was. It was a really falsely run race, and it's probably the most muddling trial we've seen, albeit they've hardly been the most straightforward. In terms of a Derby horse, he wouldn't be the one for me, but I wouldn't mind him in a St. Ledger, actually. Snow Fairy ran in St. Ledger. I don't think she stayed, but he's by Frankel, and they do tend to stay quite well, the Frankel, some of them. And, you know, the way he sort of finished off, he stayed powerfully towards the end of that sort of listed race. And you sort of think maybe he's going to be one that's going to just progress as the season develops. And is he going to sort of win round Epsom? I'm not quite sure. Or maybe, I think the Irish middle distance horses are miles stronger than ours, both the fillies and the Colts. And I just wonder whether he's going to be a horse that sort of develops as that season goes along. So I'd be tempted by him for the St. Ledger, actually. I think he'd stay that trip quite well. And I've not really seen anything with that race in mind. So he'd probably be the one for me. The horse at Newmarket on Saturday I was really impressed by was Saida, I think it's pronounced, won the novice race over a mile and a half. She beat a fairly good horse called Mellow Magic, and she just looks like one who's going to be really progressive this season. And I'll be interested to see what the handicap of this first time, but there's probably a race at Royal Ascot for her where she can get in. But I thought Newmarket was a good day. Actually, Saturday was a really, really good day in terms of clues, and I think we saw some really top-class horses.
We learnt a lot, didn't we? Ashada won the fillies trial at Newbury. Not too sure she'll be featuring in the Oaks, but still a nice filly in the making. Belosa, I mean, she was fantastic in the King Charles at Newmarket, despite drifting all the way across the track. Lee, anything else that you want to mention, given you were on course at Newbury?
Yeah, I mean, I would be every bit as bullish about Stouty's horses as Tom was. So many of Sir Michael's best horses have come that handicap route. One of my all-time favourites, Pilsudski. I remember him winning a, a three-year-old's handicap at Glorious Goodwood and going on to great things. You mentioned Belosa there, Maddie. I think she's a really talented filly, and I thought she was well on top at the end of that race on Saturday, having been an impressive maiden winner first time out. So I think she's smart. And I think we should give a mention to Creative Force too, who won the listed three-year-olds race, listed three-year-olds in the Carnarvon Stakes at Newbury. Loved the way to the final furlong. He was sort of head down, really sprinting for the line. I thought that was a very striking effort from a horse who'd come through the handicap route at Newmarket. Real shame he can't go for the Commonwealth Cup. I'm one of those that dislikes the idea of Group 1 races being barred to geldings just because they're geldings. For me, that sort of horse race should be about finding who is the best horse in the group that could possibly win it. And I think Creative Force, if he went to the Commonwealth Cup, would have a major chance. And I don't like the snobbery that puts geldings out of those races. That was a relatively recent change. I think last year's Commonwealth Cup was the first one that didn't have geldings in it. And I think the race would be stronger for having him in the race this year. Wherever he goes, though, I think Creative Force will be a sprinter to watch this season.
Okay, interesting you mentioned about that geldings. I know Sirius de Zales, he couldn't run in the arc, could he, because he was a gelding. That's sort of a similar thing there. He missed out on a lot of big races purely because he had been gelded, which was a shame. But we'll go to talk about some horses who definitely haven't been gelded, and they came in the Preakness on Saturday. We spoke on last week's show about the positive test of Medina Spirit for Bob Baffert. The horse did run in the NTC, but he didn't win. Third was all he could manage. Tell us more about the winner.
Yeah, it was a good news story that Ron Bow won for Michael McCarthy, who trains on the West Coast in California. Bob Baffert, as you mentioned, trained Medina Spirit and Concert Tour, two of the three market leaders on the day. Medina Spirit, who won the Kentucky Derby, finished third. He ran the race I thought he would in the Derby. He went out to the front and just lacked the class in the closing stages, which is kind of what we've seen in every single run of his so far, apart from at Churchill Downs, where he did fail a drugs test. Concert Tour, the other Baffert horse, well, he's probably still running. He was out the back of the TV from an early stage. Mike Smith clearly didn't give him a very good ride. But great ride by Flavien Prat, arguably the best French jockey across the world. In my opinion, he is. On Ron Bauer, who, look, he's a good news story because this horse won the El Camino Royal Derby at Golden Gate Fields. Now, you don't get many horses that run at Golden Gate and then go on to win a leg of the Triple Crown. Ron Bauer was largely overlooked in the Preakness, though it was a wide open heat. He raced him off the pace. It's really hard to make ground up at Pimlico, and he hit the line really well. So he's definitely a player for the Belmont. Michael McCarthy was in tears after a very emotional win, a clear career best winner for the West Coast trainer. And for people who mentioned that all US training is, you know, all US racing, sorry, has drugs involved. Well, Michael McCarthy's only been fined once in his life as a trainer, and that was in 2007. It was a $100 fine for not having a nozzle on a hose in his yard. So it's what you want to see. Clean racing, clear winner in Ron Bauer. He goes to the Belmont. We'll tackle the likes of Essential Quality, Hot Rod Charlie and Mandaloon, who finished second, third and fourth in the Kentucky Derby. It's going to be a great race, arguably the best Triple Crown race this year. So make sure you tune in for the Belmont in 3 weeks' time.
Fantastic. We're all looking forward to that one. A long distance race in the Triple Crown. Now, one horse we've spoken about is Palace Pier, who's made his mark on the miling division. But we're going to talk after this short break about another who could yet come into play. Be sure to watch Racing Post Live with Betfair for racing reaction, tips and discussion. It's live every Saturday afternoon on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And that horse I mentioned just before that break was St. Mark's Basilica. He won the French 2,000 guineas for Aidan O'Brien and Iritz Mendizabal. Poetic Flair, the Newmarket winner, he was comprehensively beaten in the end. But this was a really smart performance and a horse that crucially, I think, has always had a big reputation, TC.
Yes, most definitely St. Mark's Basilica. It's good to see a horse replicate their run from the Dewhurst last year because Plenty of the field that day in the Newmarket Group 1 just didn't perform, and he eventually won the race. And there was question marks about what that form really amounts to. I know Chindit finished back in the field. He subsequently finished fifth in 2,000 guineas. That was a good run, but it didn't really boost the form. Smart Basilica came out and won really well, I thought, under Iris Mendisabel. He had every right not to win that race because he was in a bit of scrimmaging at the halfway point. He was forced wide around the bend, but he picked up nicely in the closing stages. I don't know too much about the French form, so I can't exactly tell you, look, this was a great race or this wasn't a good race. But Poetic Flair, in my opinion, didn't fire. And I'm kind of labelling St. Mark's Basilica as a horse that needs soft or heavy ground. All three of his wins have come on soft or heavy, and his defeats have come when the ground's been quicker. I think going forward, I'm going to pigeonhole him as a soft ground horse at this stage until he proves himself otherwise. I don't see him anywhere near in the same league as the likes of Palace Pier, but he's still a young horse and he's open to further improvement.
Okay, Lee, any thoughts to add on St. Mark's Basilica?
No, I mean, she had a really good turn of foot. I thought that was impressive. And I think it was encouraging for Aidan O'Brien's miling three-year-old crop, if you like, that one could come out and produce that sort of performance, because the 2000 guineas have been a very disappointing race. I think we expect a St. Mark's Basilica to go there, given he'd won the Dewhurst. But second-guessing Aidan O'Brien is always a dangerous thing. It's even more dangerous to think he's got something wrong. He clearly got it right by sending the horse to Longchamp. I suppose he'd just be disappointed he didn't come away with a guineas double in Paris.
Indeed, and we'll get on to that now, because Mother Earth was the 17-10 favourite for the Poule d'Essai, the Pouliches, the French 1,000 guineas, the race afterwards. But she was beaten by Kerr Samba. Now, I'm really not sure where this came from. I mean, when you look at the jockey and the trainer, Christian Demuro and Jean-Claude Rouget, it makes a lot of sense. But on form, it didn't, TC. She'd been beaten by so many horses in this field. Tiger Tanaka, one of them, King's Harlequin, See the Rose. Why do you think she took this step forward?
Well, it's a good question, isn't it? She previously faced seven of the runners that she tackled again in the French 1,000 guineas. And She just stayed much better than them and really cleared away in the final furlong. I was impressed with her finishing effort. I could never have had her beforehand. I thought Mother Earth had every chance. No excuses there. Frankie gave her a great ride on her previous start when she won. And I thought Christophe Simeon actually gave her quite a similarly good ride. She hit the front and looked to have every chance. But of course, Samba came through in the end. I think the stewards had a 15-minute discussion about whether they were going to throw out the winner. I can't see why they would have thrown out the winner. I know she veered a little bit left to make her challenge, but yeah, look, the right result, one that I would never have found beforehand, and hopefully she will prove that this isn't a fluke, because I know she was 38-1 or 66 in places over here. Yeah, hopefully she will go forward from this.
Yeah, and it looked another good run from Mother Earth, James. Not sure she had too many excuses, seemed to be in the right place at the right time, and maybe this just came a bit soon after a big effort at Newmarket, or maybe that's just as good as she is. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the way I looked at it was similar to what you just said there, is it probably just came a little bit soon for her. I mean, look, we don't quite know what the Guineas form is and how good it's going to be. And I'm sure that we might find out a bit more in a week's time when Saffron Beach runs and such. But yeah, I thought she just looked a bit tired. It was a strange, confusing result. But you do get a few of them over in France, especially on those sort of when the ground's testing and such. So maybe that's perhaps something to do with it. But, you know, she's run another big race. And I think what's clear is that time after time we see these sort of good, well-hardened Aidan O'Brien trained two-year-olds that take that real next step forward in the following season. And she's done that. I mean, she was sort of placed and beaten in group races, and now she's really sort of come forward and has stepped forward a massive amount into her three-year-old campaign. And I suppose to a certain extent, St. Mark's Basilica as well. I mean, he was sort of knocking on the door and such. And I do hope they go to the French Derby, because to me, he just looks absolutely made for it. He was the one that I was looking at going, yeah, that's the race for him in time. I'd be surprised if I go to Ascot with him. But yeah, Aidan O'Brien will be disappointed he didn't do the double, but she's run well, but perhaps maybe it was just a little bit too soon for her.
Yeah, it seems they're leaning towards the Prix de Jockey Club, doesn't it? But as Lee said, he showed such a good turn of foot, St. Mark's Basilica. I think a race like the St. James's Palace off a strong gallop, I think that would really suit him, just slingshot round the bend. But he also looks like he has a lot of potential to stay further as well. Now, we're going to go back in time now, and I'm going to ask the guys for their main takeaway from the Dante Festival. James, you mentioned there Aidan O'Brien training fillies and training horses just to progress, and Snowfall was one example of that. She was really impressive in the Musidora, a dominant winner for Ryan Moore, made most, and was never going to be caught. And then Hurricane Lane, he won the Dante. probably a slightly surprising result, although this is a really likeable horse who's clearly progressing for the Godolphin team. Lee, was your highlight? I mean, it's likely to be either of those, but which were you most impressed with?
Which was I most impressed with? I thought that they both looked pretty deep and strong runnings of the Musidora and the Dante. I thought Snowfall got such a good ride by Ryan Moore relative to the tour opponents that the danger is we just think that she was gifted the race, but she was clearly highly regarded at two. And although her form figures were more the sort of thing you'd expect in a horse going into an ordinary handicap than a group one, we've learned time and time again with Aidan O'Brien that his horses can get beat and get beat repeatedly, but then they blossom. And she looks like a horse who would blossom. I wasn't at York, but apparently she looked far better and far more impressive as an individual than either Noonstar or Tiona, the two big unexposed horses. So I wouldn't be dismissing Snowfall from the Oaks. But from the Dante, I can't see any of the Dante horses winning the Derby. I think they'll run well. I think Hurricane Lane is a really likeable sort, but a bit like High Definition. He looked like he was tapped for toe at one point before finishing really strongly. I think they'll run respectable race in the Derby. Although I think High Definition will take an awful lot of organising. He just doesn't look like a natural Epsom horse to me, although I think he could well be the most talented horse who ran in the Dante. In some ways, I think the horse from the Ebor Festival that most struck me was one of Ed Walker's, Prima Baccio, who won the listed fillies race on the Friday, the Michael Seeley. She'd run well in the Fred Darling, and she produced a stunning turn of foot to win the race. And if that was a fair representation of where she is now and where she's going, then I would think she'll be a real play in the Coronation Stakes.
I was really impressed with another filly in Winter Power. I thought she was awesome, yeah. And we could well see her back at York for the Nunthorpe. But let's stick with the three-year-olds for now. Bolshoi Ballet, of course, the red-hot favourite for the Derby at this stage. Hurricane Lane, I'd have concerns about his physique for a track like Epsom. Seems quite a heavy horse, quite a strong stayer. I just wonder, he needs to be quite nimble to get around Epsom, and he seems, as much as he's honest, I might have slight reservations about that. But Snowfall, I think, for sure, has got an excellent chance. James, what do you think for the two Epsom classics? Who stands out to you most at this stage?
Well, I think my overriding feeling watching Snowfall win was that this was almost sort of like a tester for Aidan O'Brien, just to sort of see where his three-year-old middle-distance fillies are compared to the sort of British ones. And I think she may have answered that question in terms that they're quite a bit ahead. I think the Irish horses are considerably stronger. I mentioned it earlier. I think she'd have a chance. But, I mean, it all just goes back to Santa Barbara, doesn't it? I mean, this really bizarre sort of horse that we know nothing about. She ran well in Newmarket, but she's just got this aura of could be anything at the moment. And so I suppose maybe I'm a little bit leaning towards that and just wondering maybe she is going to be a bit of a superstar. And I mean, we wouldn't be surprised. In terms of a Derby, I was watching High Definition with the idea that maybe he's going to be the horse, but he gave me that sort of mogul sort of impression. He gave me that sort of Japan run where they just sort of might take two or three runs to sort of get right back into top gear. And it might be that he runs well at Epsom, but then goes to Ascot and faces Tom Collins' favourite horse of all time already, Bay Bridge. In terms of a Derby, I'm really unsure about it at the moment. It's a race that I just can't seem to work out. But Hurricane Lane, for me, would be a nice each-way bet if he went there, because I think he's improving. And I think the form of his newbie run before was pretty good as well. So I can't quite work it out yet. It's a tough one. But hopefully there'll be a few more clues emerge in the next few weeks or so.
Well, you've certainly been seduced by Santa Barbara anyway. TC, round it up for us. What else have we missed when talking about York?
Yeah, four horses that I really liked at York. Winter Power, as you already mentioned, I thought she was scintillating in the 5 furlong sprint. She showed such a good high cruising speed and just never looked in danger, did she? She's a horse that is definitely on my radar going forward. She's probably not good enough to win the King's Stand. But she'll definitely be winning more races over five furlongs. She's just far too quick for them. I thought Snow Lantern ran a good race in the Michael Seeley behind Primo Baccio. She was obviously far too free to do herself justice. She was beating five lengths at the line. But the winner's a good horse, as Lee said, Primo Baccio. And Snow Lantern, when she settles a bit better, behind a faster gallop, she'll be able to show herself. Her maiden victory was very impressive. And the horse she beat, Derab, absolutely romped home on his third start. It's 28-1 for the Derby now. Also, another horse further back in that field, Love Is You for Roger Charlton, had blood in her trachea. She finished last, 8th of 8, but give her another chance. Two others. One of them is Ilarab, who won the Jorvik Handicap, which is an Ebor qualification race. That's six victories in a row for him, for William Haggis, now favourite for the Ebor. I think Haggis just has that race under wraps. I know it's so far away, but he's got Hamish as well, who I thought would win the Ebor last year before he was taken out. He was injured. But Ilarab's a real sharp, improving sort. And the other one, you're going to have to wait because I can't even remember who it was. I don't even know. But back to the Oaks, a quick word on the Oaks. I think this is the weakest Oaks I've seen in at least the last 10 years. I don't like Santa Barbara at all. I think she's a pure hype horse. She's going to have to improve plenty. And look, Aidan O'Brien's do improve plenty. But I was disappointed with her in the Guineas. I think the best bet in the race is Ziada, about 8-1. Now, after she finished second to Dubai Fountain at Chester, I wasn't all that keen on her. But just looking through the market, there's just nothing there that's really standing out to me. I don't really like Snowfall. I think Tiona won't handle the track. Dubai Fountain's probably not got the class to win the Oaks, given her forward-going style, and they're going to go quicker. I just think Ziada's going to improve plenty for that Chester run, and she's probably the bet about 8-1.
Okay, so there you are. There's a bet for the Oaks. What about the upcoming classics, the Irish 2000 Guineas? Now, we're not going to see Master of the Seas, but we are going to see some of the other horses from Newmarket. So stick with us to discuss that in just a second. Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters. It's brought to you by the Racing Post. You can get access to the digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content, including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and much more. Head to racingpost.com and click on subscribe to find out more. Welcome back to the show. The Tattersall's Irish 2000 Guineas is coming up on Saturday. Now, the third from Newmarket, Lucky Vega, is leading a lot of the markets at the moment at 5-2. I'll run you down through them. Chindit then is 7-2. St Mark's Basilica, well, I doubt he'll be turning up after winning the French Guineas. He's 4-1. Poetic Flair, maybe. Lee's just said to me off air that maybe Jim Bolger could run him even after he was disappointing at Longchamp. So Poetic Flair 9-2, Labarossa 6-1, Battleground and Wembley both disappointing at Newmarket 8-1, Cadillac 10-1, and the rest are bigger prices. So just talk us through this as a division, TC, because I know you're a big Chindit fan, aren't you? Do you think he'll be better suited by this track?
Yeah, the division's it's weak, but at the same time, some of these horses are pretty decent. I expect the likes of Battleground and Wembley to bounce back after their Newmarket defeats. And Thunder Moon, I think he'll run a much better race. Yes, I'm a big fan of Chindit. I don't think he's going to win the Irish 2000 Guineas, though. I'm going to be at pains to not back him because I have followed him off a cliff since he won the Champagne at Doncaster last September. He's been back for the last week, I think. He was 7-1 or 8-1, I think, with a few firms. Now into 7-2, second favourite. So there has been support for Chindit, but he won't be for me. I'll be looking towards the Irish, though at this stage, it's hard to nail my colours to the mast without the full final fields.
Yeah, we'll get those in time. Lee, some people were suggesting Lucky Vega was pretty unlucky at Newmarket and he was the horse to take out of the race. Do you think he can make amends in the Irish equivalent?
Yeah, I'm not certain he was unlucky, but I think it was certainly encouraging that he showed he stays the distance, because I don't think you'd have been guaranteed to say that Lucky Vega would be a mile. He had so much speed last season. At this stage, as you say, Maddie, we don't have the forfeits. We'll get those tomorrow for the two Curra Classics. And you made reference there to what we're saying off air about Jim Bolger. I just wouldn't be surprised if Jim Bolger ran this horse in the Irish Guineas. I certainly think he would have run the horse in the Irish Guineas had he won the Pula, because I think Jim Bolger would have loved the idea of training a horse who won the three Guineas. He can't do that now, but I think, yeah, as Tom says, it's not a sensational generation of three-year-old milers, and I just wonder if Jim would throw Poetic Flair back in at the Curra on Saturday, and if he did with a better run through the race, wouldn't stun me at all if he came back and won an Irish 2000 Guineas.
I think it would suit him more than in France, perhaps. Although he had the benefit of being quite prominent at Longchamp, he seems a horse who stays very well, and he needs to get on an even keel and have an even pace. I'm not sure he necessarily had that at Longchamp. So it would be really interesting to see how he goes. As I say, no Master of the Seas, but Charlie Appleby could rely on Labarossa, which I know he's a horse that David Jennings is very keen on. But James, who would you be most keen on at this very early stage?
It's not a race I'll certainly be punting on, to be perfectly honest, because it's a really confusing race, because we had all those really nice sort of prospects going into Newmarket, and they, for sort of O'Brien, whether that's Aidan or Joseph, and they all disappointed. I mean, I was big in the Thunder Moon camp, but I have to say I was somewhat shocked by how disappointing he ran. So I would sort of want to distance myself, because it would be no surprise if any of those bounce back to form. I think from a form perspective, I will be interested in how Labarossa gets on. I thought he was actually quite underrated last season, you know, when he won his good race at Newmarket, that Group 3, and then maybe didn't quite fire later on. He didn't run too badly in the Craven Stakes. We don't know how strong that form is yet. I mean, Master of the Seas has looked good, but, you know, we still don't know what his ceiling is. So Labarossa is quite an interesting horse, and I think if I was sort of had to have a bet on the race, that would be the one. But it's going to be a really interesting race to watch, because I'm sure one of them will bounce back.
Yes, and I think if anything, the Phillies version is actually going to be more interesting on Sunday. The Tattersall's Irish 1000 Guineas at 350. Now, again, I'll run you through the market for this. Joan of Arc is favourite, with the Ferns who have it priced up at around 15-8. Then Pretty Gorgeous at 9-4. Mehna at 100-30. Saffron Beach at 4s. Shale and again Mother Earth, who ran at Longchamp, both 5s and 9-1 bar. Joan of Arc, I mean, she's got a wonderful pedigree, and she looked excellent in the trial last time. TC, do you think she could be the family's just next classic winners? Because the dam just seems to find breeding them so easy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Aidan O'Brien's probably putting most of his eggs in her basket to become the leading three-year-old. She was very impressive last time, only 8 days ago at Leopardstown. She's a worthy favourite. I'm not convinced by her just yet. I want to see her do it again. The horse I'm mainly interested in is Pretty Gorgeous. I just want to see if she's trained on from 2-3. Her juvenile form is red hot. There's been loads of winners come out of her races. Dubai Fountain finished 4th in the Phillies Mile behind her. Mother Earth finished 3rd behind her. Snowfall was 8th in that race. Isabella Giles was 9th. So that race, the Phillies Mile, was red hot. I just really hope that she's as good at 3 as she was at 2. And if she is, then she's going to be the leading light in this division. Whether she can do it first time up in the Guineas, we'll see. But she's definitely a horse that I really want to win.
Yeah, unlucky to miss out at Newmarket. Lee, how do you assess these fillies? Because I think this is, as I say, maybe a more exciting race than the colts, purely because we don't know the ceiling of these as much as perhaps some of the colts.
Yeah, potentially. I could well be right, Maddie. I'd be with Tom. I think Pretty Gorgeous sets a clear standard. Hopefully she's grown more than her stable companion Thunder Moon did from 2-3. But if she has made good physical development, and if she goes there in good order, I think she'd be tough to beat. Joan of Arc does look a very talented horse, but she still needs to find a bit to be tackling or to be beating Pretty Gorgeous. Saffron Beach, interesting where she goes. Jane Chappell-Hine was on Luck on Sunday yesterday, and she was talking as though she would rather run the filly in the Oaks if she gets her way. So interesting to see where she goes. But if Pretty Gorgeous is in there, like Tom, she'd be the one for me.
Okay, now let's get the guys' naps then. Who are we most fancying this week? Let's find out.
This will not be beaten.
Let's go to you first, Lee. Who have you got your eye on?
Well, I'm looking to Haydock on Saturday, Maddie. And I'm not necessarily sure this horse will start a huge price, but if Dragon Symbol runs in the Sandy Lane Stakes at Haydock on Saturday, I'll be fascinated to see how he goes up to group company. Really impressive so far in 4 starts. Loved his performance at Hamilton on his seasonal reappearance. So if Dragon Symbol goes in the Sandy Lane, he's entered in that race, I will be really intrigued to see how he goes. We've also got the Temple Stakes on Saturday at Haydock Group 2 Sprint. but it has attracted a pretty disappointing entry. Lazuli, the Palace House winner, is the highest rated horse, but he's only got an official mark of 112. Actually, so has Kayamora win the race. But the sprinting division is lacking superstars at the moment, certainly over five furlongs. But I hope Dragon Symbol can emerge as a top prospect on Saturday.
You've been reading my Weekender column. I spoke about Dragon Symbol a couple of weeks ago. I really hope this horse can break through, and maybe it will be in that 3:35, the Sandy Lane Stakes at Haydock. Anyway, TC, who is it for you?
Yeah, Tuesday, 4:10 at Wolverhampton. It's three-year-old handicap, a really good three-year-old handicap, especially for a Tuesday afternoon at Wolverhampton on the Topeka. A 0-95, but there are plenty of horses in here that are going to go forward and win loads of races. And one of my horses I've been waiting for all year is running in this race, called Ilza Eam. Now, I tipped him to win a race at Sandown, but he was taken out at the last minute when he was well-backed after his red car success. Last year, he bumped into two really nice sorts in Aratus and Royal Fleet, both of whom will probably make it at group level, I imagine, this year, especially Aratus for Clive Cox. Very interesting runner for him when he returns to the track. But this Ilza Eam, he's going to relish this step up in trip. He's bred to be a 1 mile, 2 furlong horse rather than a miler. James Doyle takes the ride. I just think he's absolutely chucked in off a mark of 89. And although it's probably a red hot race, I'm hoping that Simon and Ed Crisford have another really good colt on their hands. They've got plenty of juveniles. There's one tonight running at Windsor that I'm hoping is going to be pretty good as well. But hopefully Ilza Eam is the number one.
Yeah, you're getting back on track tonight at Windsor. So you're one of the many spectators excited to be returning to the course. I mean, how are you feeling just to go on a sidebar to be going racing again?
Oh, believe me, I cannot wait. It's been about 14 months, I think, since I've last been on the track. As soon as we found out when Boris had the press news conference the other day that we could go back on track today, I was instantly buying a ticket with my girlfriend. We're both going. It's going to be hailing, but I don't care. Just looking forward to the action. Hopefully get a few winners. It's going to be a good night.
Yeah, and I'll go to James. I want to touch on that quickly with Lee. But James, who's your best bet this week?
Yeah, I'm afraid it's a bit more, there's no racecourse joy for me this week, but I'm quite looking forward to watching Warwick on Wednesday. It's summer jumping. It's not actually, it's quite a good card, actually. I'd recommend watching it. And there's a horse I've been sort of waiting for a little while called Blazing Saddles for the very shrewd Jeremy Scott. It's been, was a decent performer on the flat. It's taken a bit of time to sort of show his promise. But I think riding him pretty prominently sort of made the difference. He won a really good race. Well, not a really good race, but won a race in really good style at Stratford, and then was second at Taunton behind a horse called Mystic Court, who was clearly just very well handicapped and was in off a penalty. He looks like he's sort of ready to go in again, and good ground, right trip, right track. It looks a perfect race for him. So, yeah, Blazing Saddles hopefully can give me a highlight before the weekend.
Thanks very much, James. Now, Lee, I mean, you wrote in your column this week for everyone to come racing because there's so many different reasons why. Now, you've been lucky because you've been reporting on course at a lot of the big meetings, but this is a huge step, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. You know, this sport is nothing without fans. You know, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Cameron McIntosh couldn't keep putting on shows in the West End if all the seats in the auditorium were empty. You know, you can't continue just racing horses really for our own amusement. I know we've had lots of great TV coverage and we continue to have that, but it's vital for the sport that the sports fans can engage with horse racing by being on a race course, having a great time on a race course, having a few bets on a race course, having a food and drink on a race course. And race courses, of course, need those people. While the smaller race courses haven't had it too bad because of the way the sports funding model works, and they can, to an extent, some of them can survive on media rights, the big race courses certainly need to get people coming through the turnstiles. So it's great news. This horse racing is entertainment on turf, and that means you have to have people to entertain. So it's a big deal today, and really looking forward to it.
Okay, fantastic. And hopefully some of our listeners will be getting back on track in the coming weeks as well. That's all we have time for today. As usual, Bruce will be back on Friday to preview some of those cards, including at the Curragh and also at Haydock. We'll see you again very, very soon. Thanks for joining us.